The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Mercy Soa
and Eugenia Sumedusechi.
In the headlines, Attorney General, IGP and Ministry of Finance invited to appear before Commission of Inquiry into Judgment Debt Payments when it resumes sitting on Monday, July 15. Police shoots down suspected armed robber in late-night gunfire battle at Danfa near Ayimensa in Accra. Media analysts continue to push for clear guidelines for Supreme Court reporting. Three-story building collapse in Lagos, Nigeria claims more than 10 lives. U.S. urges new Egyptian leadership to stop harassing members of Muslim Brotherhood. And fast-track High Court directs counsel for beleaguered Herbalife musician Derba to file proper process for appeal. First, a summary with Eugenia Asumedusechi.
The Attorney General, Inspector General of Police and Chief Director of the Finance Ministry will appear before the Judgment Debt Commission next week. Representatives of these institutions will assist the Commission in its work. A media law lecturer at the Ghana Institute of Journalism, Osei Kwejuado, has asked the GJA and the National Media Commission to organize periodic workshops for journalists. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Osei Kweju said the workshops are important to equip journalists to adequately report on issues such as the Supreme Court proceedings. And 10 bodies have been pulled out while scores of residents remain trapped in a three-story building that collapsed in Lagos, Nigeria. It is believed that more than 100 people resided in the building that collapsed yesterday morning in the Bute Meta area. Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The news in detail. The Commission of Inquiry established by President John Mahama to inquire into judgment debt payments and other related matters will resume public sittings on Monday, July 15 and continue on Wednesday, July 17, 2013. The representatives of the underlisted organizations or institutions have been invited to appear to assist the Commission in its work. They are the Attorney General, Solicitor General, the Inspector General of Police, and the Chief Director of the Ministry of Finance and Economic Planning, MOFET. The others are the Chief Director of the Ministry of Youth and Sports. Those invited are informed that they are at liberty to appear with their lawyers. Members of the public who wish to testify or volunteer information are first to report at the Commission's office to give their statements. The Commission will then schedule a date for them to give evidence. All those who intend to testify or volunteer information to the Commission but are unable to be present in person are requested to submit memoranda to the Commission. All such memoranda will be treated confidentially.
There was a major controversy yesterday over a document which is supposed to be an extract from the final voters register from MA Primary School at Nyinampo in the Mampong constituency. Lead counsel for the petitioners, Philip Addison, in an attempt to prove double registration, confronted the chairman of the EC, Dr. Kujar Ferijan, with the extract. Dr. Ferijan indicated that none of the pictures on the extract existed in the original register. He, however, indicated that the pictures are rather contained in a different polling station register but appearing in a different order. The respondents vehemently opposed the attempts by Mr. Addison to tender the extract, which they said lacks authenticity. Mr. Addison initially stood his ground but had to withdraw the document rather reluctantly following comments made by the judges.
Deputy Executive Director of the Media Foundation for West Africa, Sulemana Brahma, says it's too early to say the action of the Supreme Court against Ken Kranchi has in any way succeeded in stemming media commentary. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Brahma said though people have become careful, others are still using derogatory remarks in the media. Mr. Brahma spoke to Agatha Asamoah.
I think that it is still too early, and also it is a bit difficult to really also define the boundaries of streamlining media commentary. I think that the issue of free expression and the boundaries of it is quite difficult to determine. And therefore, at this stage, I would say that, well, people have become more careful, and careful in the sense that prior to this, there were comments and commentary that were obviously derogatory of the Supreme Court. And I think that the court wanted to assert its authority and to clearly point out that, well, we cannot just say because of freedom of expression and free speech, people can say whatever they want to say. But at the same time, I think there is also a concern as regards to what extent the court can exercise that power whilst at the same time protecting freedom of expression and free speech.
Well, I believe you have heard Ken Crunchy speak after his release. Are his views seem fine-pitched?
Well, I haven't especially heard Mr. Crunchy or what exactly he has said. In fact, what I've heard him say relates to conditions in the prison, which I think I listened to another network during the 6 p.m. bulletin. Apart from that, I haven't heard or read directly a comment relating to the sentencing that was meted out to him.
Mr. Brimer disagrees with having a communication policy for the media. He said the media already have a code of ethics and have to abide by it.
Well, I think that when it comes to the media, there cannot be a communication policy for it. This is a profession and it is guided by a code, you know, and so we already have a code of ethics that exists that we are all supposed to abide by as media organizations and as journalists. And so I think that issues relating to policy should be geared towards enforcement of our code of ethics and making sure that journalists and media organizations are really complying with the guidelines and principles that should guide our profession, which is the code of ethics. But I think on the other hand, it is our political parties and politicians who perhaps would need some guidance as regards, you know, how they articulate their issues. It appears to me that strategy is thrown to the dog. Real issues affecting the lives of the people are thrown to the dog. In fact, if you look at the issues that got these three people, Samir Wuku, Atubiga, and Mr. Crunchy, you know, sanctioned, it's not really about issues of development, issues that are affecting the lives of the ordinary people on the street. It is really about partisan commentary.
Deputy Executive Director of Media Foundation for West Africa, Sulemana Brima.
Meanwhile, a media law lecturer at the Ghana Institute of Journalism, Jose Quejuado, has tasked the GJA and the National Media Commission to organize periodic workshops for journalists. Speaking to Radio Ghana, he said these workshops will help the association to train its members to uphold the ethics of a profession. Lawyer Adu said the GJA and the National Media Commission must come out with guidelines for reporting issues of the magnitude of the Supreme Court proceedings.
We have the Ghana Journalist Association, and what they have in terms of rules to regulate their members is the code of ethics. And I don't know whether they conduct training or seminars or workshop for their members on this particular code of ethics. So as it is now, I think the GJA will sit up and then look at this particular event that has happened in Ghana and for which journalists have been incarcerated, and then to see whether they can educate their members as far as the law is concerned. Again, we have the National Media Commission that has been mandated by the Constitution to also regulate the media. They have guidelines on political reporting and so on and so forth. So when this particular case was going before the Supreme Court, I thought they would be proactive enough and then immediately come out with some guidelines that would direct members of the media. But nothing of this sort was done, and it became a marketplace something, and everybody commented on it as a how they thought it looked like, whereas it was not like that. So I think the GJA and the National Media Commission should be proactive this time around, and whoever the next event of this sort is going to happen, and they know that their members will be reporting on that particular event, which is perhaps a city, then quickly they will come out with guidelines that will direct their members.
Media law lecturer at the Ghana Institute of Journalism, Mose Quejuado.
And away from media reporting, a leading member of the NPP, George A.C. Boateng, says the 2-year suspension imposed on Dr. Charles Rekubrobe by the NPP is a step in the right direction, as it will strengthen party discipline, unity, cohesion and stability. Reacting to the punishment as published in the media in an interview with Radio Ghana, Mr. A.C. Boateng said by this decision, the party has demonstrated that no individual is bigger than the party, and this has sent a strong signal to the rank and file of the party to be cautious in their utterances. Thomas Nsueje has filed this report.
A leading member of the NPP, George A.C. Boateng, said the party needs a common voice now than ever before in view of the ongoing Supreme Court case involving the party and the Electoral Commission. He said the party believes in free expression and that any member who has reservations about how the party should be run or against the actions and inactions of any member should channel them internally to the party's hierarchy for immediate action instead of running to the media. A leading member of the CPP, Samuel Danso, alias Santiacus, also welcomed the decision and commended the leadership for instilling discipline in the party. He said, political parties are ruled by constitutions and that any member who contradicts the laid-down code must be sanctioned to restore law and order. Mr. Danso said, the NPP believes in internal democracy. That is why Dr. Weku Bobe was given the opportunity to appear before the executive committee to defend himself. The decision, he noted, is a lesson to other political parties.
Thomas Nsueji's report.
The Buzio Foundation International has marked the centenary celebration of Ghana's Prime Minister for the Second Republic, the late Dr. Kofi Edbisa Buzia. In attendance were both majority and minority members of parliament and family members. Other dignitaries included former President John Ejikum Kufo, Nanamo Umari, and Rachel Lahi have come through with this report.
The centenary celebration, which began with the documentary dubbed The Prof, A Man Remembered, took the gathering through the life vision and legacy of Dr. K.A. Buzia, directed by his daughter, who is an actress, Akosia Buzia. The flag bearer of the NPP in the 2012 election, Nana Dodankwa Akufo-Addo, paid tribute to the former prime minister, saying he was dedicated to the promotion of human rights and democracy.
The political discourse in our country today is deeply influenced by the ideas of media, representative government, multi-party democracy, freedom of speech, respect for human rights, the separation of power, so that we will never again experience arbitrary rule in our country. These are the contributions of this extraordinary life in the life of our nation.
Nanado also indicated that the late Dr. K.A. Buzia believed in making education accessible to every Ghanaian child and was determined to see it to fruition during his term of office. Former President John Ejikun Kufo, in his presentation, said though Dr. Buzia is gone, his legacy for the rule of law, freedom of speech, among others, will continue to be guiding principles for today's leaders. Other family members of the late Dr. Buzia spoke about his life, family, and religious beliefs.
A report by Nanamo Mari and Rachel Ahe.
Meanwhile, Parliament has paid tribute to the late Professor Kofi Abrefa Buzia. MPs from both sides of the divide eulogized the man who became the Prime Minister of the Second Republic for his contribution to the socioeconomic sociopolitical development of Ghana. The MPs paid the tribute when the member for Winchi, Professor Georgian Bafor, made a statement on the floor of the House to commemorate the centenary of Professor Kofi Abrefa Buzia. According to Professor Jan Bafor, Professor K. Buzia, among others, helped to establish the ministry responsible for rural development and Center for Civic Education to educate the people on their civic rights and responsibilities as an instrument for nurturing democracy and the rule of law. We bring you a report by correspondents Dominic Logi and Augustus Akwe.
Professor Kofi Abrefa Buzia was born exactly 100 years ago today at Wenchi in the Bonafé region. As an illustrious son of Ghana, Professor Buzia was a researcher, teacher, writer, a man of religion, and a politician. In a tribute, the MP for Wenchi, Professor George Jan Bafor, regretted that the late Prime Minister's achievements have been swallowed by historical misrepresentation and calculated distortions. To him, the truth about what Professor Buzia stood for will certainly emerge.
This was a man who believed in peaceful coexistence, yet was a passionate, pragmatic nationalist who tried to secure the commanding heights of the economy for Ghanaians. Mr. Speaker, it is the centenary of this man that we are celebrating, and I urge all Ghanaians to pray for his soul today, and also to celebrate his life in any small way we can to reflect the makeup of this man. Simple, humble, compassionate, tolerant, pragmatic, radically nationalistic love for humanity, respect of the rights of the individual, and above all, a deep believer in the maxim that each one should be each other's keeper to lift those who are down from squalor, poverty, hunger, and disease. Mr. Speaker, such a person is worth celebrating.
MPs who contributed to the statement underscored the contributions of Professor Buzia to the political landscape of Ghana and observed that his life is worth celebrating. Professor Kofi Abrefi Buzia was Prime Minister for 27 months and 12 days. His government was overthrown in a military coup in 1972 by Colonel Ignatius Kutu Achampong. He was forced into exile and died in 1978 in Oxford, UK.
Parliamentary correspondents Dominic Logi and Augustus Akwe filed that report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Attorney General, IGP and Ministry of Finance invited to appear before Commission of Inquiry into Judgment Debt Payment when it resumes sitting on Monday, July 15. Police shoot down suspected armed robber in late-night gunfire battle at Danfa near Ayimensa in Accra. Media analysts continue to push for clear guidelines for Supreme Court reporting. Three-story building collapse in Lagos, Nigeria, claims more than 10 lives. And U.S. urges new Egyptian leadership to stop harassing members of Muslim Brotherhood. Do stay with us.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
Welcome back. A suspected armed robber has been killed at Danfa near Ayimensa, a suburb of Accra. This follows an exchange of gunfire between the police and armed robbers. The spokesperson of the Ghana Police Service, DSP Seth Azasa, who disclosed this to Radio Ghana, says three of the policemen who were engaged in the shootout are currently at the police headquarters for further investigations. He spoke to Yaya Kwama.
The alleged shootout that you just mentioned between the police and the suspected armed robbers took place at a place called Danfa near Ayimensa in Accra. And during the shootout, one of the suspected armed robbers was shot dead. And the story behind the incident goes like this. A day before yesterday, that was Wednesday, in the afternoon, a complainant called at the Ayimensa police station to lodge a complaint about some armed robbers attacking them on their land while they were working. Immediately, the three policemen were dispatched to handle the situation. When they got there, according to our preliminary investigation, they found one 4x4 Rexton vehicle and two motorbikes with two persons on each of them bolting away from the scene. They signaled them to stop, but they refused to stop. This led to exchange of fire and between the police and the inmates of the 4x4 vehicle. Eventually, it led to the death of one of the suspects on board the 4x4 vehicle. CID headquarters is detaining the three policemen pending further investigation.
So where are the other armed robbers that were engaged in the shootout on board the 2x4 and on the motorbike?
It's alleged that four persons were on board the 4x4. The three of them managed to escape. And then one motorbike, together with the two occupants, the motorbike, are in police custody. They have been arrested, assisting with investigation.
So currently the two motorbikes and the 4x4 wheel drive are with the police.
One motorbike with two persons on it, you know, and then the two occupying the other motorbike and three members occupying the 4x4 racing cars managed to escape.
Is the police aware of, or do you know, have any clue about the person who owns this land?
We are arriving at some clue for now. Not the owner of the land, but the suspect or the persons alleged to have engaged in a shootout with the police.
Why is it that the police is detaining the other three policemen who were engaged in this shootout? Is that they acted unprofessionally?
Not necessarily so, but we have had the cause to investigate further to establish the story being put forward by the police who took part in the exercise.
Spokesperson of the Ghana Police Service, DSP Cephas Arthur.
The police administration has allayed fears of the public over the recent murders in Kumasi Metropolis. Briefing the media in Accra, the Director General of CID, COP Patrick Ablo, said the police has taken concrete steps to stop further murders. These measures include the presence of police personnel and vehicles at major intersections nationwide. He asked the public to volunteer information to assist the police to fight crime. Naomi Komi reports.
The Kumasi Metropolis has in recent times experienced a number of murders. These incidents have created an atmosphere of insecurity in the metropolis. This, according to the Director General of CID, has become a major concern. COP Aglo said 10 suspects have so far been arrested. He said all the 10 suspects have been remanded in prison custody and are scheduled to reappear on the 15th of this month.
In all, 10 suspects have so far been arrested in that case. Kwajo Asamoah's death resulted from gang terrorism. Prince Opoku Anto and Joe Edusa Eisi were murdered by armed robbers, while Isaac Jackson was murdered by an acquaintance who was settling a personal score. Kwajo Asamoah alias Gausu's case, all but one of these murders have to a large extent been solved. The police administration on its part has adopted policies aimed at enhancing security in the country. One such policy is the visibility patrols. As you are already aware, crime prevention, detection and protection of lives and property are some of the core functions of the police service.
You heard Director General of CID COP Patrick Ablo ending that report by Naomi Komi.
The Deputy Minister of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Florence Apo, says children with special needs like autism and Down syndrome must be given critical attention to enable them to develop properly. It is for this reason that the minister toured some specialized facilities in Accra and Tema to gather information on how best government can attend to their needs. Mrs. Apo says such children have not received support from government because their needs have been relegated to the background. Here's a report by Erabna Paha and Linda Bemavo.
At the New Horizon School and the Asheman School for the Deaf, the Deputy Minister interacted with the children using sign language. She said the ministry will collaborate with other stakeholders to address challenges and solve societal problems associated with persons with disabilities. She said an area where the ministry has targeted is to educate parents on psychosocial counseling in order not to discriminate against their children. The ministry has put in place a facility to train hospital social workers to communicate effectively with people with hearing impairment to assess health care. Operators at the facilities visited appealed to government to establish more vocational schools and raise the standards of existing ones so that students with special needs can learn vocations on their area of specialization.
Erabna Paha and Linda Bemavo reporting.
In a bid to enhance the quality of herbal and local manufactured products, the Institute of Packaging Ghana has been sensitizing manufacturers to effective packaging. This is to ensure that products meet international standards and regulations. Speaking at a workshop in Accra, the second vice president of the Institute, Mrs. Caroline Chikata, said packaging is an important aspect of production which must not be taken for granted, adding that with the current trend in marketing, producers of herbal products must incorporate science and technology in their packaging to prolong the shelf life of products to make them attractive. Cynthia Boatin and Abigail Somwa have more.
Herbal medicine is increasingly becoming preferred alternative to the orthodox ones due to its efficacy. However, lack of proper packaging deters people from patronizing the local herbal medicines. It is against this backdrop that the Institute of Packaging Ghana organized the workshop on the importance of barcode use and packaging in the marketing of health products. Participants were from the Ghana Federation of Traditional Medicine Practitioners across the country. A vice president of the Institute of Packaging Ghana, Mrs. Caroline Chikata, noted that packaging must be artistic as well as scientific in order to close the gap between consumers and the producers.
Cynthia Boatin and Abigail Sumwa filed that report.
The Takwa and Swayen Municipal Assembly in the Western Region has at an emergency meeting at Takwa confirmed the president's nominee for the position of Municipal Chief Executive, Christina Kobna. She pulled 33 of the 42 votes cast. In her acceptance speech, Ms. Kobna thanked President John Mahama for nominating her to serve a second term and the assembly members also for the endorsement. She pledged to continue to implement an open-door policy and asked for support and cooperation of the assembly members to deal with challenges confronting the municipality. The presiding member of the assembly, Aban Mensa, on behalf of the members, assured Ms. Kobna of the assistance to enable her to deliver. The deputy regional minister, Alfred Jan, called for transparency and impartiality in the work of the assembly. He said it is only through these that the municipality can fast-track its development.
In foreign news, 10 bodies have been pulled out while scores of residents remain trapped in a three-story building that collapsed in Lagos yesterday. It is believed more than 100 people resided in the building that collapsed in the morning yesterday at Ebute Meta area. Rescue operations are currently ongoing.
The U.S. has urged Egypt's leadership to stop the arbitrary arrests of members of the Muslim Brotherhood. White House spokesman Jay Carney warned that targeting any particular group will mean they'll be working against themselves if their effort is to be all-inclusive. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has also warned against the exclusion of any party. Rival rallies are expected in Cairo today amidst rising tensions over the army's overthrow of Islamist President Mohamed Morsi last week.
Meanwhile, the U.S. has expressed disappointment over China's failure to hand over fugitive intelligence analyst Edward Snowden after talks with senior Chinese officials. U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Edward Burns said Beijing's actions undermines trust in bilateral ties.
11 persons have been arrested in connection with a shipment of fruit stuffed with 250 kilograms of Indian hemp to the United Kingdom. The 11 who were all on duty on the night the shipment was scanned were arrested by the BNI. Immediately, the Indian hemp was found concealed in the consignment. A source told Radio Ghana that the BNI has been concerned lately about the use of multiple scanners at the cargo section of the Kutuka International Airport and the opportunity it creates for illegal drug activities. The cargo in question was processed at the perishable cargo center at the airport and was scanned through the air gun scan machine. The source indicated that a process had been initiated to close down the air gun scan machine, and with the arrest and current developments, the place will surely be closed down. The Accra Fast Track High Court has directed counsel for musician Thereby Champon to file a proper process for an appeal, stating grounds for the appeal. Lawyer Augustine Obuo is also to serve a copy of the process on the state, after which the court will determine the case. The directive followed the dismissal of an appeal of a plea by Mr. Obuo for the High Court to order the registrar of the district court to forward proceedings of the case to the High Court. Mr. Bo argued that his appeal was in the form of habeas corpus application. He's challenging, therefore, the order of the district court to surrender thereby to the UK court for trial on rape charges. According to Mr. Bo, the district court erred in its decision because there's no extradition treaty between Ghana and the UK. Mr. Bo submitted that the appeal is to allow his client to state his case, but opposing the application, senior state attorney Comfort Tasiame said the district court, in reaching a decision, satisfied itself that the double criminality and the offense is not political, as well as the existence of an extradition treaty between Ghana and the UK. She said a habeas corpus is not an appeal, adding that the state has complied with the Habeas Corpus Act 244 of 1994 by submitting a report giving reasons for the continuous lawful detention of Deba. Mrs. Tasiame said all necessary documents have been attached to the report, including the rule of the district court.
Hello.
We continue after the break.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel, and more.
Now to end the news, the main points again. Attorney General, IGP, and the Ministry of Finance have been invited to appear before the Commission of Inquiry into Judgment Debt Payments when it resumes sitting on Monday, July 15. The invitees are informed that they are at liberty to appear with their lawyers. The police have killed the suspected armed robber, Adamfa in Accra, following a gun battle between them and the armed robbers yesterday. And the U.S. has called on Egypt's leadership to put a stop to arbitrary arrest on members of a Muslim Brotherhood. The news was presented by Eugenia Sumedusechi
and Mercy Sowa in Accra.